Hearts, this is the Tuesday edition of Challenge, and today I'm going to take you into our Sunday service this past Sunday. And as we go into it, I'm starting to pray, and there's still some music playing in the background, but don't let that disturb you because the music will stop as I continue to pray. But I want to take you into this service we had just this past Sunday with a prayer time and the message. So put on your listening ears. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to give you ears to hear the message. Here's the message as it was delivered. Here is the message as it was delivered this past Sunday. Father God, this morning we live in a changing world. And we understand it is a changing world. And Father, this morning I'm asking you across this nation, Father, stir the hearts of your people. Stir the hearts of your people to repentance and to intercessory prayer. We're living in changing times. And we need to be coming before your throne daily in intercessory prayer. And this morning, Father, in the nation, in every expression of the kingdom of God, regardless of what they call themselves, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, whatever they may call themselves, be glorified. Amen. And regardless of what they call themselves, Father, move in the hearts of your people. Stir our hearts to repentance. Stir our hearts to intercessory prayer. Father, you rebuke the people in your day, Jesus, when you said that you can look at the sky in the morning, the evening, tell what the weather's going to be, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And Father, I fear that so much of the church does not discern the signs of the times. Help us to be sensitive to the signs of the times. Give ourselves to repentance, not only as individuals, but as the church and as a nation. Give ourselves to repentance, intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation, the nation of the world, and the kingdom of God. Now, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this morning. You're so welcome. And we're asking you to touch each and every person here. Give us understanding, comprehension. Let us better realize who we are in Christ, what we are in Christ, and give ourselves to being all that we are, what we are. And if you'll do this, then you can use us as well as others. Amen. In this nation to increase the kingdom of God. And that, Heavenly Father, is what is really important. Yes, so hear our prayer, we pray. Bless the praise and the worship. Be glorified, we pray, in all we are, say, and do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now you can praise the Lord. Well, we're living in a changing world. A changing world, in alignment with the prophetic word of God, and there's more to come, greater changes to come. So just be sensitive, don't get concerned, just pray, but be aware of what's going on. Once in a while, you might need just to sit down and write somebody a note of appreciation. I wrote one to Gene about a week ago. He and I have been together since 1995. He was listening to me on the radio. And he said to himself, who is this fool? But he kept listening and he finally said, well, he's not a fool. He's got it right. Hello. So he came over to visit with us and found out I was going to the Philippines. And he says, can I go with you? I said, well, if you pay your way. So he got the leave time for the Navy, paid his way, went with me, came back, retired, joined us, been with us since 1995, 1996. Amen. Sitting right back there now. Hear me and hear me well. In all those years, there's never been a crossword between us. Amen. Now, how many staff can say that? In all those years, there's never been a crossword between us. And he's put up with so much. because he knows so much more than I don't know the technical stuff. You know, he's got it down. But there's never been a crossword between us. So you might want to just, I was just sitting thinking about Gene one morning and praying and thanking the Lord for him. And the Holy Spirit said, why don't you write him a note? Tell him. Now, who is it in your life that you should encourage? Tell them how much you appreciate them, what they've meant to you, what they do mean to you. And when it takes a moment, make a phone call, send a text, or write a note. Holy Spirit suggested it, so I just did it. So, but since 1995, 96, he's been with me. All right, everybody stand up. Say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. Now I'm going to give you part of what you gave me. Bring it on up now. Thank the Lord for the offering.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you praising you for all that you've done for us, Father.
Yes.
And Father God, I just ask you to take this offering and use it to your advantage everywhere we go, Father.
Amen.
And Father, anything that's in that prayer box, I ask you to honor it, and I praise you for it. And Father, I just thank you for all the many blessings you bestowed upon me and my wife, Father.
Yes.
I thank you for our travel mercies these last couple of weeks, Father God. We just praise you for that. I thank you for this church that you have brought into our lives, Lord. I thank you for this pastor that you've blessed us with.
Yes, Lord.
So, Father, I just praise you and I glorify you and I thank you. And, Jesus, I thank you for what you've done for me.
Amen.
I thank you for your shed blood for the remission of my sins, Father.
Amen.
And I praise you for it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
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 Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Hopefully we'll be looking at verses 12 through 21. When we come into it, Paul is in prison. He's in prison and for all he knows, he's facing execution. And he doesn't know how much longer he has to live. But he's writing the very first church he ever planted, the church in Philippi. He's trying to encourage them. Now take into consideration what I'm saying. The man's in prison for preaching the gospel. There'd been a conspiracy against him. They wanted to kill him. He appealed to Caesar. That way he got away from them, but now he's in Rome. And really he's at the will of the emperor of Rome. But he planted the very first church, Protestant church in Europe. This one. Very first one in Europe. So as we come through this morning, he's writing to them. He's in prison. And he's trying to encourage them to be faithful, to keep on keeping on, and to be faithful. So we begin with Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The man recognizes something that so many do not recognize. He recognized the absolute sovereignty of God in his life. The absolute sovereignty of God in his life. Every time your heart beats, in a sense, it looks up and says, "I beat again."
Amen.
Every time. You need to keep that in mind. He's absolutely recognized the total sovereignty of God from his birth onward. Have you ever taken the time to sit down and see the hand of God in your life from the moment you were born until where you are now? It's there. Now I'm going to stretch you just a moment here. So go ahead and get stretched. You did not catch God by surprise when you were born again.
Hello.
God knew from eternity past who would and who would not be born again. And he put up with us, tolerated us, protected us until we were born again.
Amen.
But our coming to Christ did not catch him by surprise.
No, sir.
And he let us go our own way. I've
I've often asked him, why did you let me go as far as you let me go the way I went before you brought me to yourself? But then you see, you bring a host of experience and background and testimony into the family of God because you are an living example of His mercy, His grace, and His love.
Yes.
But you never caught Him by surprise. He knew from birth onward, from the creation of the universe, He knew who would and who would not be born again. He knew who would be before Christ as well as after Christ. He knew those who would trust and believe before Christ came. He knew who would trust and believe after Christ came. Nothing ever caught Him by surprise. From before the foundation of the world, God knew. Now we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Word tells us that God is not willing that any should perish. So anyone who is willing to be saved can be saved.
Amen.
And you don't know who they are.
No.
And God is going to save some people that you don't think have a chance of being saved.
Amen.
You need to keep praying. Take them before the throne of God. Take them before the throne of God in intercessory prayer. Every wrong decision you ever made, God knew you was going to make it before you made it. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Every wrong decision you ever made, God knew you were going to make that wrong decision before you ever made it. By the same token, He knew which would be the right decisions. He knew which right decision you'd make and which wrong decision you would make. Sometimes, kind of hard to get a handle on the omniscience of God. Really. The omniscience, the total omniscience of God, that He's never learned anything new. He's never been surprised by anything. Nothing you ever said, nothing you ever did, caught Him by surprise. He knew before the foundation of the world and yet loved you. Loved us as we were. To me, that's just an absolutely amazing thing. So, some of us He uses in an ordinary way. Others He uses in a most unordinary way. Moses. Guys like, the Bible is full of people that God used in a most extraordinary way. But they were common everyday people. They were just common everyday people like you and I. But God chose them because He saw in them a willingness to be used and a willingness to obey. Does He see in you a willingness to be used, a willingness to obey? He saw that. Moses, David, and the Scripture's full of men and women who just did marvelous, wonderful things for God, but they were everyday, common, garden variety people. Just like you, just like me. And so they answered the call of God on their life, received the anointing of God on their life, received the direction for their life, and became what they became for God, and were used as they were for God. Well, you're in the same category. All you've got to do is submit and surrender. Submit and surrender, and watch what He does with your life. Now, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13. And by the way, some of you have already been used in ways you didn't understand God was using you. Did you hear me? Some of you have already been used in ways that you didn't realize God was in that situation, in that circumstance. You just thought this was an everyday, ordinary experience of life, but God was in it. God ordained that moment in your life. And you will not know till you get to glory some of the moments that He ordained in your life. Things that you came through, you won't understand if you get to glory. And then you'll say, oh, that's what that was all about. That's what He was working out. That's what He was doing. We come now to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13. Or verse 12. Let me get back to verse 12 again. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually happened, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He recognized the absolute sovereignty of God in his life. Have you? He recognized the absolutely sovereignty of God in his life. I want you to get this now. I'm recovering again. From birth right on, he understood that. He understood the elect. He understood out of all of humanity, there were those who were of the elect. And anybody can be of the elect, because anybody who's willing to be born again can be born again. I'm emphasizing this morning because don't you get lost in the scripture here. Understand this. Every soul who's willing to be born again can be born again.
Amen.
And you're living around people every day of the world that are not yet willing to be born again, but God knows who they are. You don't know who they are. But that's why you're to be salt. You're to be light. You're to be a witness. Because you never know. You may not know you get to glory. What impact and what effect you had on somebody else's life that brought them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, once again, continuing with verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard. Remember, he's in jail. He is in prison. He's writing this from prison. Why is he in prison? For preaching. For preaching. For standing for what and doing what God called him to do. Sometimes you run into opposition when you make up your mind, I'm going to obey God at all cost.
That's right.
I'm going to submit. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to obey God. And sometimes you'll run into some opposition, as did he. Verse 13. So it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Now, when he's writing, he's in there 2 years. He's under house arrest for 2 years. The palace guard understood why he was there. Now understand this. There were 10,000 palace guard. These were men who were selected out of the military to guard the leader of the nation. They were there. And that's what they were doing there. They were there to guard the Roman emperor, if you will. 10,000 men. Now, he's getting these men as guards. He's a special prisoner. They let him have his own house, but they have guards that are guarding him in his own house. But that means that he's getting a chance to share the gospel with the palace guard. So you got 10,000 palace guard, and they know why he's there. They know why he's there. So he had the 10,000 and then all the rest. In addition to the palace guard, you had all the others involved in his arrest and involved in taking care of him while he's under arrest. Do you see the sovereign hand of God in this?
Absolutely.
How else would they have got the gospel into that community, into that mix, unless it had been somebody like Paul? And he's in prison. So God is using him in prison. Other believers then became encouraged by Paul. You had other believers saying, well, okay, he's in prison, and he's coming through this. He's putting up with this. He's under this authority, that authority. But they kept watching this, and they, as a result of his testimony, they became emboldened. Do you realize that your faithfulness to God may embolden someone else?
Amen.
Just your submission and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ may encourage somebody else to submit and surrender. And you may not know until you get to glory who you've encouraged and who you've impressed. Philippians 1:14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains. Wow. He's an apostle in chains. Now, what are you griping and complaining about? He's in prison. He's in chains. And the only thing he has done is upset some people by his preaching.
Yeah.
But because of his preaching, he's in prison, in chains. And most of the brethren in the Lord, have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear.
Amen.
His perseverance, now listen to me carefully, his perseverance in the faith, even though he is being set upon, his perseverance encouraged others. You have to understand, you can go through life moaning and groaning and complaining. You can go through life griping about this and griping about that and talk to this person, that person, always griping, complaining, this is wrong, that's bad, this is going on. But Paul's not there. He's being persecuted because of his preaching. He's in bonds because of his preaching. He's in prison because of his preaching. And he did not let that dampen his testimony.
No.
They did not let that take away from his walk with the Lord. He remained faithful, and because of his faithfulness, he's becoming fruitful. I wonder if our, what we come through, the situation, the circumstances we come through, I wonder if we have the same effect on other people. Stop and think about how you handle the hardship in life. Look, folks, it's reality. You're going to face hardship. You're going to face discouragement. You're going to face disappointment. Yes, you're going to face some physical problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems. The question is, how do you react to them?
Amen.
How do you respond to them? How do you handle this in front of other people? Do they know you as one who's always moaning and groaning and complaining about, oh, everybody hates me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms? Is that your life? Or do you come through the episodes of life giving God praise, glory, and honor? He's in prison and still praising God, giving God glory, giving God honor. And he's saying, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to be encouraging the churches. He planted a church. He was planting churches. So he's going to encourage the church he planted. Are you concerned about encouraging others in their walk with the Lord, regardless of what they face, regardless of what they come through? Have you got a word of encouragement for them? Have you got a word of encouragement for yourself? Once again, everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to eat some worms. Too many times, that's our approach. Instead of taking the time to say, glory be to God. Yes, the building fell. Yes, the building is now burning, but I'm still alive. And I'm going to walk out of this mess and keep on praising God. No matter what you come to the Word. What does the Word of God say?
In all things.
In all things. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Do you mean to tell me that when I got a pain here, and I got a pain there, and I got something going on here, and I'm not sure about, you know, if you spend less time doing a medical diagnosis on yourself, and just taking the Lord and say, well, Lord, I got something going on here, but my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. I've been dwelt by the creative power of this universe, and you've known my life from beginning to end. You know when I'm going to check out and come to glory, but between now and then, I'm going to do everything I can to advance the kingdom of God. Satan, take a walk!
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, you can't talk to Satan like that. Yes, you can. You can tell every demon out of hell.
Amen.
I've got victory over you. I've got power over you because I'm a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been adopted into the family of God. So if you spend less time over this, over that, and giving glory be to God, I can feel it.
Hello.
Say, wait a minute. You say to me, preacher, I should give him thanksgiving, glory, and honor, praise when I got this thing going on in my back. No, I didn't say that. He said that. He said, in everything, give thanks. Because, you see, you're being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. And God knows what it's going to take to conform you. God knows what it's going to take, and I've lived this, I am living this, I know what I'm talking about, to bring you to the end of yourself. Oh, ask my wife. I walked into the office where she was a clerk. And, oh, babe, you want to come tell them about it? But she said that she said, to said, oh, I caught her. She go, because I walked in there. I'm the big man on the block, you know. I'm fresh meat. And so I'm here to take over. I'm here to take in charge. I'm here to be in control. And I wanted everybody to know I was in control. Jesus wasn't very evident in my life in those days. But she looked back on those days. I look back on those days, and I see where God has brought us from and where God has brought us through. You can do the same thing. But the point is this. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that you are a created individual, you're answerable, and you're going to go to glory when you die. So you may as well take as many ways as you can. Amen?
Amen.
I'm kind of getting off my theme here, but it's okay. It's all right. Now we come down to verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy. Why would you preach Christ from envy? What he's saying. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and from envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Folks, this is going to hurt. This is going to sting. Different people, different men in ministry, different women in ministry have a reason for being there. They have their own motives. And their motives are not always Christ-like. Their motives are not always a result of the move of the Holy Spirit in their life. You've got people today in expressions of ministry all over this nation that are not called of God. They chose it as a vocation. They chose it because it was, had some esteem. For some, it's just a matter of making a living. This is what I do for a living. The call of God is not on the life, and that's people have different motives. We do this again. Some indeed, now this is Paul speaking, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Different people have different reasons for entering the ministry. Different people have different reasons for staying in the ministry. That was true in that day, and that's true in this day.
Right.
Paul recognized it. He saw it in his day. We see it in our day. But you understand this. God is the judge.
Amen.
God will sort the whole thing out.
Yes, sir.
Sooner or later, God will sort the whole thing out. I have my own opinions about the leading contender for the religion of the Antichrist. It's not Baptist. It's not Presbyterian. They're not big enough. I have my own ideas about the leading contender for the false religion that will eventually be a worldwide religion under the auspices of the Antichrist. And I watch those things change. I watch one leave office, another come into office, and then I wait to see what they're going to embrace, what they're going to put their stamp of approval on. And it's amazing the secular things they put their stamp of approval on and the things they embrace. And for those who have ears to hear, that's from the Word of God nine times. For those who have ears to hear, you may want to listen and be sensitive to the signs of the times. You're living in these times, and change is taking place. And now I have seen in the last 30 days, I have seen a major change in the religious, spiritual life of the nation, as well as a major change in the political life of the nation. Not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world. If you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, if you know the Word of God, if you know what to look for, and what to be sensitive to, you can see it. It's happening in your lifetime, right in front of you. And it is leading to a climax that will be a part of the one world order.
Right.
And yes, the church will be here.
Yes.
And yes, the church will come under oppression. And yes, Christians will be oppressed.
Amen.
It's happening in your lifetime. Now, there's still so many more steps to be taken before this comes to a final climax. But you're looking at the incremental steps, which means you should be giving yourself to prayer concerning what's going on, because it's going to, if not affect you personally, it is going to affect the church down the line. You need to be in prayer with that thing. So, in the pulpit, we've got men standing in the pulpit with wrong motives. Pulpits are full of men with wrong motives. They're there before the, if you will, the perks. They're there for the income. They're there for the whatever you want to call it. But they're there. We've got pulpits that are filled with men who are not God called. God, none. And I'm watching. I hate to say it. I just watched the Southern Baptist fold their tent and creep off into the night. The Word of God makes it very, very clear that a woman cannot be a pastor.
That's right.
It's in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's there. It's in the Word of God. And you don't determine, I said this last Sunday, I'm saying it again. Doctrine is not determined by political correctness.
Amen.
Doctrine is determined by line upon line in the Word of God. And so they became politically correct. And yes, this will be on the radio, but it's just the way it is. It's facts, it's the truth. Folks, I am watching slowly but surely, inexorably, politically, religiously, and even spiritually, I'm watching a convergence and a change and a compromise and a movement towards the end time government of the Antichrist. And yes, the church is going to be here, and I defy anybody to prove me wrong using nothing but the scripture.
Amen.
I'll stand on it. Philippians 1:17. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. There were those called of God. There were those in that day called of God. There are those in this day called of God. There were those in that day that were really called by Satan. And there are those in this day really called by Satan. Because involved in systems of religion that are far removed from the Word of God, far removed from the kingdom of God. Have to understand this. Pure motives. You see, God knew who had a pure motive. So we come to verse 17 again. But the latter, out of love, love for God, love for the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. So are you. You're appointed for the defense of the gospel. It may be in an office space. It may be in a neighborhood. It may be in a building. But you're appointed to defend the gospel. And he's saying that we have those in the ministry who have pure motives. And they're not in it for what they can get out of it. They're in it out of pure motives. Philippians 1:18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense, look at this, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Paul's position was, he wanted the gospel to be preached regardless of the motives. Are you hearing me? Regardless of the motives of those doing it. He said, let the gospel be preached, because he recognized God, the anointing, God blesses his word. Word of God tells us. God blesses his word, not necessarily the man delivering the word, but the word itself. As the word goes forth, God blesses his word. That does not mean that he is blessing the man who is delivering the word. But he blesses the word. That is his promise in the word. So Paul recognized this. He recognized that the word is going out, and God will honor his word. God will bless his word. And he recognized there was some out there preaching who were not called of God to preach. We got the same thing today.
Yep.
We've got how many individuals today declaring the word of God from a pulpit were never called of God to preach. We've had some right here in Jacksonville. I remember one man had been in the ministry for some years, was a senior pastor in a church, and finally got saved. But he'd been ministering for years, been teaching the Word of God, and he finally got saved and came to the pulpit and told everybody,
Amen.
I just got saved. He had been the pastor for a number of years. That is not all that unusual. We have men standing in pulpits all over the nation declaring the Word of God, who themselves are not saved. Same thing was in Paul's day. But Paul said, let them do it. I don't care. Just as long as the gospel is being proclaimed. That was his heart. Let the gospel be proclaimed. We come to verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. Look at his confidence in prayer. He's in prison. He's under house arrest. He's waiting to be tried. And he's there 2 years. Watch this now. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. He is emphasizing the necessity and the importance of prayer and his confidence in their prayer. He says, your prayer. It's your prayer that's going to get me set loose. How many people do you know that need your prayer that they might be set free? From Satan's bondage, from whatever bondage it may be. For I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. Oh, folks, if the church could understand the power of prayer. Let me make this very clear. You as an individual, by yourself, go into your prayer closet, shut the door. You and God. You and God. You can affect the White House.
Amen.
You can affect the nations of the world. But we go to our prayer closet, we're soaking, oh Lord, I got this and I got that, and I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. I don't know how this is going to shake out, and I don't know how that's going to shake out. I'm just a mess. Well, I really don't know what to do about this. Get off the throne of your life.
Hello.
Let Christ Jesus be on the throne of your life. Take everything to the kingdom of God. Take everything before the throne of God. You have access to the throne of God. I keep telling you this Sunday after Sunday because I want you to understand that you have spiritual clout in heaven as a child of God, as one born again, as one with access to the throne of God. You can take these things before the throne of God that are affecting and influencing the nation and the world, and you can have an effect before the throne of God.
Amen.
Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I want you to understand. You walk out of here this morning. Watch this. Look at this again. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. He says, regardless of what's happening in my life. Yes, I'm in jail. Yes, I'm in prison. Yes, I got a guard. Yes, I got chains. But it's going to turn out for my deliverance. Look at it. It's going to turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. He says it's your prayer that's going to turn this thing around. How many people do you know that are in a situation or a circumstance that is your prayer that can turn it around?
Amen.
You say, well, I never really think about it. That's part of our problem. That's part of our problem. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer power, prayer power. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, because you see, you're praying and the Holy Spirit has empowered that prayer. The Holy Spirit has to enable that prayer. The Holy Spirit is the only one that has access to that other person. It is the Holy Spirit that has access to the Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court, the judiciary, the church. It is the Holy Spirit that has access. You don't have access, but you can influence and affect through your prayer power. Through your prayer power.
Amen.
Oh, I wish we could get this. Philippians 1:20. Go back to verse 19 again. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Through your prayer, prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer moves the hand of God. Philippians 1:20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Wow. Let that verse sink in. Hey, what he's really saying, when you reduce that verse down to one simple statement, he is saying, let Christ be glorified, whether by my life or my death. Either way, let Christ be glorified. If I'm going to live, let it be glorified in my life. If I'm going to die, let it be glorified in my death. How many of us can say that? What the only thing that matters is Christ glorified.
Amen.
Is he glorified? And that's what Paul is saying. Let Christ be magnified, whether in my life or by my death. Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Can you say that? For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Whether I live or die, doesn't matter. Whether I live or die, doesn't matter. You know what he's saying? He's saying it's a win-win situation.
Hello.
It's a win-win situation. Come on, people of God, understand. God is on his throne. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He has all power. He's just, listen, there's nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I have direct approach to the throne of God. I can go before the throne of God. I can put the President of the United States before God. I can go before the throne of God, and I can put any situation, every circumstance before the throne of God. So you have to understand, you have access to the throne of God as a believer priest. Go in there and stir things up. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, I've taken it as far as I can take it. Birth this truth into their hearts, Father. Oh, Father God, help your people understand who they are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That they're indwelt by the creative power of this universe.
Yes, sir.
That they have access to the throne of God. That we're ambassadors for Christ. We endure hardness as a good soldier. We're a believer priest. We've been adopted into the family of God. And Father God, we have your ear. We have your ear.
Amen.
Help us to better understand every day of the world who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And take not just our own little concerns before you, but Father God, I'm watching a world changing right now in front of my eyes.
Amen.
In the last 24 hours, I'm watching a major shift and a major change in the nations of the world. I'm watching an implementation, Father God, of a move towards that final, final government. I'm watching everything come into play. And Lord, I'm praying that you will give your people sensitivity to the signs of the time to which they're living and have them devote themselves, Lord and my God, devote themselves to you, your kingdom, in all they are, say, do, and think. This I ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.
Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us in this Tuesday edition of Challenge. And as I told you going into today's message, this was the message I preached this past Sunday at our ministry center here in Jacksonville. In closing the message out today, I want to take you to some thoughts and observations, some items of prayer that I take before the throne of God. I look at what's going on in the world today. I look at what's occurring in our nation today. I look at the shifting pieces in the nations of the world. I watch the change that's taking place. And as I do that, I make some observations. For example, I noticed in recent weeks, we have the National Guard in Los Angeles to restrain violence in Los Angeles. There was such an outbreak of violence in Los Angeles that our president saw fit to have the National Guard make an appearance in Los Angeles to assist the police department. Then we saw the National Guard put in plain clothes, sent to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to assist police because of increase in crime there. Folks, these are things that are occurring in your lifetime, in your nation. We are in a meltdown. We have been in a meltdown spiritually for some years. We are experiencing a meltdown in other areas of life in the nation. And it's not over. I've been telling you for years that these days were on the horizon. Why? Because it's in the prophetic word of God. And the prophetic word of God is always fulfilled. We saw a gunman open fire at Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan. Now, the shooter himself was shot and killed, but understand this. This is a gunman going into the assembly with the intent to kill people. Folks, this is occurring right now, in this hour, in this day, in the life of this nation. Again, a gunman opened fire at Cross Point Community Church in Wayne, Michigan. Now, the shooter was shot and killed, but that does not lessen the fact that he went into the church armed and started shooting in the church. Then we see that Italy, Portugal, have joined with Spain, France, Greece, Thailand, and Japan for unruly tourists. For unruly tourists. They want the tourist to respect the local culture. And they're going to ensure that tourists do respect the local culture. Tourists must respect the local culture and the ordinances or suffer the consequences. It is that simple. Tourists either respect the local culture and the ordinances, or they suffer the consequences, whether in Sardinia or the Canary Islands. Different nations are taking a different approach to unruly visitors. Understand something here, folks. You're watching nations in change. You're watching nations undertake change. You're watching nations legislate new laws for those visiting the nations. All of this is to curb unruly visitors from acting in ways they should not act as they visit the nations. Then we've got Iraq. Iraq is at center stage, is it not, in both the political policies and procedures in recent days. Iraq is at center stage. Folks, your world is changing. I've been trying to tell the people of God for years and years and years, the world is changing. Iraq is at center stage. And then, for the first time in my lifetime, starting with World War II, that I have seen what I have seen in recent days. That is, our nation taking the initiative against what is perceived as a common enemy. And that common enemy that is perceived as a common enemy is Iraq. And our nation joined with Israel against Iraq. If we were going to join forces with anybody, I'm glad it was with Israel, opposed to any others, because the Bible is full of God's promises concerning the nation of Israel and those who befriend Israel. So if we're going to get involved in national or international policies, conflicts, I'd rather see us get involved with Israel than any other nation I can think of. Folks, times are changing. This is your lifetime. Now, for those of you with children and grandchildren, you have to understand that the change that is occurring now, not only in this nation, but in the nations of the world, is going to affect your children and your grandchildren. You must understand this. Change is going to take place. The Word of God tells us. But you see, here's my problem. I feel that so much of the church does not understand the application to our day of Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Let's turn there for just a moment. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning with verse 1, then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked him if he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. You wicked generation, he says to them. He says, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, you say it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, he's talking to the religious leadership of the nation. And he calls them hypocrites. He says, hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. And I fear that we have so many today who cannot discern the signs of the times. We see change taking place across the nations of the world. We see change taking place in this nation. And yet I'm convinced that so much of the church does not understand the signs of the times. They're not familiar with what the Word of God says about the signs of the times and about what the signs of the times mean, nationally and internationally. Understand me. Listen to me carefully. Nationally and internationally, there is a shifting and change taking place while the church, the bride of Christ, for the most part, slumbers and sleeps. Change is taking place, folks. Change is taking place nationally. Change is taking place internationally. And the church, for the most part, sleeps on. Why? Because the church, for the most part, has not understood the prophetic word of God as taught by the prophets and by Christ Jesus himself. You see, national and international change does not, for the most part, take place overnight. Did you hear what I said? Change, national and international, does not ordinarily take place overnight. But understand this, whether it's national or international, there are incremental steps that take place slowly, but surely, and progressively. And so much of the church is oblivious. So much of the church is oblivious to those changes that are taking place even in our nation right now and in the nations of the world. And these changes are fulfilling the prophetic word of God. Understand me. Understand me clearly. I speak to this very positively. These changes are fulfilling the prophetic word of God, all of which leads to an end time one world government and order under the authority of that individual we know as the Antichrist. Did you understand what I just said to you? I'm saying to you that so much of what is occurring has occurred in the world and is occurring in this very day. In this very day in which you live, you are watching changes nationally and internationally, and you will see more. It is a slow but sure progressive move in the nations of the world. The Antichrist does not come on the scene overnight. There has to be a progressive meltdown, if you will, among the nations of the world. And there's a progressive, if you will, slumbering come upon the church. And the church is not necessarily sensitive to the times in which we're living, and therefore is not giving herself to repentance and to prayer, which is what is desperately needed today. You have to understand this. Everything that you see going on now, all the change, leads to an end time, one world government and order, under the authority of that individual we know as the Antichrist. And according to biblical prophecy, the church will come under intense persecution. And yet, the church sleeps on. The church sleeps on. You say, Bob, why are you saying these things? Are you trying to be a sensationalist? I told the Lord, I don't want to say one thing trying to be a sensationalist. I just want to call the people to prayer. I want them to understand the signs of the times. Jesus himself said to the religious leadership in his day that they could look at the sky and tell what the weather was going to be, but they could not discern the signs of the times in which they were living. And I'm saying to you that a great deal of the spiritual leadership in the world today and in this nation today does not understand the signs of the times. So, what is my purpose? My purpose in mentioning these things is to simply call the people of God to repentance and intercessory prayer on behalf of our nation and the kingdom of God in this nation. That is why I even mention these things. I want to call you to prayer because that is the solution. Repentance. We have embraced everything that God's word calls anathema. We as a nation, and the fight goes on today. I mean, this is in your face every day of the world. This nation has embraced and placed its stamp of approval on so much of what God calls anathema, and you cannot go where we have gone and not suffer the consequences. And I'm saying to you that we are going to suffer the consequences. And I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not sure yet. I'm waiting before the Lord. And I won't speak to it until I think I've got the mind of the Lord from the word of God. But I'm just simply asking you to pray. I'm asking you to go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, asking God to forgive us for having embraced what we've embraced, for having become what we have become. I'm asking you to go before the throne of God as a believer priest, praying for this nation. And I'd like to close the broadcast out today with a word of prayer. Can we do that? Heavenly Father, I have done what I feel you led me to do.
as I sat before you, waiting to hear you, waiting to get your mind, waiting to find out what you wanted said, I have tried to say what I felt you wanted me to say. And now, Father, I'm asking you to quicken the hearts. Quicken the hearts and the minds of those who are of the elect, who can discern what's going on, who can understand what's going on, who are willing to believe the word of God. And, Father God, give ourselves to prayer. Give ourselves to intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world. And in that prayer time, to ask you to to hinder the advancement of the spirit of Antichrist, to in some way hinder the advancement of the government of the spirit of Antichrist, and give us a few more moments. Give us a few more moments in eternity to come before the throne of God in intercessory prayer, confessing the sins of the church, confessing the sins of the nation and the nations of the world, and asking you for your mercy, your grace, your love, and for a little extended time to give ourselves to intercessory prayer on behalf of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in the nations. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll be ever so grateful, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. So all this we pray, and we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, keep praying it, folks. It's real. It's reality. Keep praying it. Thanks for joining us today on Challenge, and until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.